from high atop the mountaintop of Mount Manitoba. But is there a godness on the mountaintop? It's going to make sense in a little bit. This is How the Hell Did This Go Number One? And I am Kirk Buckner, the master, the creator of the Bucknerverse and all of its, and everything that it, that's part of it. Brad's already made me corpse within a minute.
Jazz hands. Mm-hmm.
And what that entails is, of course, not hallofame.com, the fictitious athlete hall of fame, the fictitious rock and roll hall of fame, and the United States Athletic Hall of Fame. You can vote on that right now. www.nothallofame.com/USA. So this is our first ever two for Tuesday. We record this on Tuesday. So I picked a double one, and I'm kind of glad that I didn't just stick with the first one. Because there isn't a whole lot to talk about the first time that Venus went number one. That did so in 1970 by a band from, I didn't realize this at the time, from the Netherlands, Shocking Blue. And another thing, I'll tell you the first time I heard this version, I thought, this is really weird. I'm watching the Brady Bunch movie, and they're using that when Marsha is sort of like walking in high school. And that's the thing they're doing. I thought, man, this is a really weird cover of Bananarama. I've never heard this before. And I find it interesting that here's a number one song that, well, obviously it did very well at number one. I don't remember this at all when I grew up as a kid. This was never played on AM radio. Now, we're around the same age, well, Brad and I are. Do you remember this?
I don't remember ever having heard this song on its own. I did hear it on the Stars and 45 medley.
Mm-hmm.
But I never heard it by itself on its own.
Mm-hmm. Wasn't that the Bananarama version on the Stars on 45?
Not no. the original.
Which we no. also discussed.
It couldn't have been. That was 5 years prior.
Oh, yeah. Fair.
So this band...
They did okay in the Netherlands. They did okay in Europe. They did, you know, not so bad. They didn't get any airplay stateside. Except with Venus.
Right, which is a catchy song, and as we sort of looked at it, I'm sure we all sort of came to a conclusion, or the same conclusion, like this is basically the combination of a whole bunch of jigsaw puzzle pieces put together.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, because it opens up with basically the same thing from Pinball Wizard from The Who. You know, you get that weird sort
completely
of
stolen riff. Completely yeah. stolen riff.
Totally mm-hmm. stolen on that one. And then goes into the banjo song by Tim Rose and the Big Three. And, you know, that it is exactly...
Fun fact, you know who one of the members of that band was?
No.
Mama Cass.
Mama Cass, Pre-Mamas and Papas.
Mama Cass? Oh, really? That's cool.
No evidence that she ate the other two members. But anyway.
Anyway, yeah, it's a mishmash of a bunch of unhinged things written by someone who doesn't speak English.
Mm-hmm.
And it just is so great.
And that's what Kirk was hinting at there at the beginning. If there was a godness on the mountaintop, there was a misspelling in the OG lyrics sheet, and the singer wound up mispronouncing it the lyrics sheet, and instead of saying goddess on the mountaintop, and you can see it in the OG video when it was performed for TV, she pronounces it godness.
And despite the fact they tried to re-record it and re-release it multiple times, they kept with people like the godness.
Yep.
It was probably just easier to keep what was already there. You know? I mean, like, why bother to change it if it's already put out? I mean, like, it already had the hook. It had everything you really need. So, okay. So, I mean, as we've all discussed many times, if it's not in the chorus, most people aren't really paying attention to what they're saying anyway.
No, exactly that.
Also, she said very clearly diamond ass instead of diamond eyes.
Crystal.
Which is, or crystal ass, sorry.
Crystal ass, yeah. Well, you know, sometimes it's just as hard as crystal.
Wouldn't a diamond ass be harder?
This was the first Dutch song to ever chart number one stateside as well.
Mm-hmm. I'm not even sure if there's been another one since.
I didn't look that far into it. I spent a little more time on Bananarama, because
Well, let's finish with this one then. Because I gotta say, her delivery of it, especially in the video, is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's got this solemnity to it that's like she's staring at the camera and like she's just, it's very kind of, it's a bit more serious. Nothing about Bananarama is serious ever.
No.
It's synth pop bubblegum silliness, and nothing about this song is serious, but her delivery is just a nice stark contrast to the nonsense words.
Were you guys picking up any Cher vibes off of her, like a little bit?
Oh, with the dark hair and the, yeah.
Yeah.
I read that a lot of people sort of said that, but other than the hair and maybe just that look that a lot of women had at the time.
Yeah. I see. I got the hair, the look was a bit Cher, but her pronunciation was almost Jefferson Airplane Grace Slick.
I got more of that vibe because I think this was like the tail end of the psychedelia. I got a lot of, I wonder how influenced they were by the Swinging London sound. This sort of felt like this could have been an Austin Powers.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's the vibe I got from it too.
100%.
Oh yeah, Powers like was sort of set in 67, but still, I mean, like this is sort of like to me the tail end of just that. And that might also explain, and I try to listen to some of their other stuff. It's a lot of,
Well, this song is kind of like the way that the English language treats other languages. It borrowed from all over the place, and it became, like you were saying, Andrea, mishmash.
But it works.
Oh, yeah, it absolutely does. There's nothing wrong with this song at all, and that's why it hit number one, I think.
But then we go from there to, and this will be the only chance we'll get to talk about them until we sort of get the show revamped in season four. When we changed this to, how the hell was this a hit?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because it doesn't always have to be number ones. So this is one of those rare times where we've got a song that went number one with two different artists. Bananarama.
It's the fourth time.
Is it fourth?
It's the fourth. No, first one that we've done the twofer, but we have touched on some others. But it is the fourth song that has gone number one twice.
There's been more after though, right?
Oh yeah, I'm sure.
Okay, yeah, okay. So the fourth to do so, one of them, which is crazy, is Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds. The fact that Elton John went number one on that one, but that's neither here nor there. Bananarama at this point, this was 1986. They had already made it pretty big in England, had made it stateside. My favorite song ever by them had already happened, that being Cruel Summer.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think holds up a lot better, frankly, than this does. But this is still probably, if they reunite, this is might be what they finish with.
You can't shave your legs to Cruel Summer, though.
Sure you can. Have you ever shaved your legs, Brad? It's a cruel summer.
Wouldn't it be more cruel if you didn't? I'm just saying.
I don't know if anybody wants to picture me shaving my legs bent over awkwardly in the bathtub.
Yeah, and I think sadly there's a bunch of people under 30 who have no idea. Like, what, this is a song?
I was talking to my daughter about that, and she's like, I always thought that was just a razor commercial.
Oh my God.
I played her both versions, and she's like, yeah. Didn't really have too much of an impact on her other than razor commercial. And, you know, for reference, the kid's 21, so...
So apparently this was something that they had been singing
since they got together
the whole time they were singing together. It was just much later on that they actually put it out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I don't know about you guys, but I like the way that it transitioned from, like you were saying, Kirk, that hippie vibe, that sort of swinging 60s sound to the like you were saying, Andrea, the bubblegum pop sound. And I think it was a perfect transition song that was really easy to get its own vibe from the new arrangement.
That wasn't what they were actually going for. They were going for something to try to hit the clubs and really sort of like into more dance-oriented thing. And I guess, and I didn't, I watched last night a Bananarama documentary. It was only like 20 minutes on. I guess it would have aired in British television. I think we here, this side of the pond, don't really grasp the impact that they had over there. There weren't a whole lot of, when you think of, I guess, like all girl groups, we remember, well, we don't remember, that was before our time, but you know, the Supremes, the Marvelettes. I mean, so like this was happening all the time in the United States. Britain, I don't believe, I could be wrong, please tell me if I'm incorrect on this, but that's anyone really. I don't think that there was anything like this there for young British girls to necessarily look up to and say, I as a British female can become that. Part of that,
I don't think we had that. And especially not with the success that they had in the US too.
Yeah, so I think they're held in far more higher standing than they are here in the UK. And of course, you know, they're always great for trumpeting their own, as they should. But yeah.
So part of what makes them great is that they aren't great. none of them is a lead singer. None of them are good enough to front a band.
Siobhan Fahey.
No, just because you want a banger doesn't mean she's a lead singer. No,
I'm not saying it's just because I want a banger. It's just I didn't realize until I started looking into this that Siobhan Fahey was in Bananarama, because I fell in love with her when she was in, well, she was Shakespeare's sister. And her voice was perfect. And combined with Marcella Detroit, I listened to that album back to back to back so many times. Because it was whimsical. It was like, I don't know. I honestly think that was her best work.
Yes.
Fair. But nothing they've done in Bananarama proves that any of them could actually front a band.
Yeah, to Andrea's point, I mean, like, these three together, I mean, like, can they sing? Sure. But I agree completely with Andrea. I mean, they sound exactly the same when they're sort of doing that. I don't think that's studio work. I think that is, yeah. I mean, if you
just easy to listen to, mm-hmm. and they're good enough. They were backup singers for a bunch of different groups. And they were, you know, fashionista scene kids that managed to have enough of a look and an image and a sound that it made them something to aspire to, because there's that every man or every woman that it's like, they're good. They're not Elton John good. They're not, every female singer I think of, you're going to be like, hater.
Ginger Spice.
No.
Is that everyone?
They're not
Jerry Halliwell. That's the one.
But they're not like
Samantha Fox.
No one of them is a lead person. Is a Taylor Swift or a Celine Dion or a Madonna even.
No, there's no real standouts in that group.
No. So what I'm saying is that gives young girls who look at them like, that I could do that feeling.
Well, in that documentary, probably one of the Spice Girls, Scary Spice, said that very thing.
Mel B. Thank you.
Yeah. So she said that very thing, that she grew up watching Bananarama thinking, maybe I could do that.
Nice.
Yeah.
So,
see, and it's good to have something like that, something that's aspirational like that, you know, with whether that be a boy band or a girl band or an individual singer or what have you. I think talent breeds talent.
Okay, so I'm glad you sort of like brought up before Shakespeare's sister, and I didn't know until now that you were that big a fan of hers. And Brad and I ever did that show, and I think cooler heads prevailed. We talked about when Andrea was away that we would just sort of like do a show where it was just him and I, and we talk about women we used to jerk off to in the 80s. Mm-hmm. This would have been one of them, and it's the same woman.
Now, that's Marcella Detroit, though, isn't it?
Oh, Siobhan.
Oh, it was Siobhan Fahey.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Sorry, Andrea, it was there. But I mean, like, you're supposed to, like, rein us back in here.
Hey, I convinced you not to do that show. So I think we're...
Maybe we can't each other, but that still might happen.
Because mighty women of the spare.
I'm going to be away for 3 weeks over Christmas. Please don't do that.
Come on, Andrea. What person doesn't want to watch two middle-aged guys talk about people that they used to beat off to when they were in their teens? Who wouldn't want to watch that? Oh, okay.
Leave your suggestions in the comments below.
That's gross. Gross. So, moving right along.
My Jasper decided the pot's working clearly. My 9-year-old corgi's on some CBD and he's starting to move around a little bit better.
Nice.
So, yes, you can follow him at Jasper_thefriendlycorgi on Instagram. So if he's going to interrupt, I might as well plug it.
He's adorable. I highly suggest watching his escapades.
Absolutely. Yes. And his sister, Winnie the Jet, the mini dashing.
Winnie and the Jets.
I got this feeling as a kid watching Venus, like the video anyway. That and it turned to be proven true later on. And then I look back at old videos. I always thought that the two other ones, other than Siobhan, Sarah and I'm blanking on.
I had that in my notes. Hang on here.
The two Sarah that kept Palin, it up once Siobhan left.
Siobhan, yes. Fahey, and
sometimes I prep guys, and sometimes
Karen Woodward.
Thank you, Karen. Wanted to call her Kate. So Sarah and Kate were they were the two childhood friends, and Siobhan came later. And if you look at this video, and I thought that then, and sure enough, I wasn't wrong, because it always seemed like the other two were in Karen and Sarah were always interacting more with each other, and Siobhan was in the background. If you watch that video too, I'm not wrong, and she was the third person out. Not necessarily in terms of what you would look at, because Brad and I were looking at Siobhan, but she was the third wheel, I'm sure, socially. And that's a year later, she had different visions. Obviously, and Shakespeare's sister, guys, if you haven't listened to that,
give the it a whole look. Hormonally Yours album is fantastic.
It's
preceding album, not as good, but Hormonally Yours, in my opinion, it was a stroke of genius.
I think also too, around this time, that's when she married Dave Stewart, who just this week just got inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Yeah, from the Eurythmics.
Yeah. So you could just that pairing alone tells you that she had a different musical vision. Mm-hmm. So she completely altered her look. She tried to distance herself. And good on her.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, look at Bananarama was pop punk, like Andrea was saying, total bubblegum kind of thing. Whereas Shakespeare's sister went kind of dark. It's like the manic goth girlfriend kind of thing.
A lot more. She wasn't Shakespeare's sister, but the Cure sister.
Yeah, but poppier than that. Like it was a goth pop kind of sound.
Well, not that the Cure didn't have a lot of pop songs.
Without a doubt. But it was. I don't know. When you look at the Cure, when you look at Robert Smith, you're not really like it. It's not as colorful, I don't think, as like the Cure scene wasn't quite as colorful as what Shakespeare's sister was, because Shakespeare's sister wound up in the Hormonally Yours album, at the very least, referenced a lot of pulp films like Catwoman from the Moon, based on a movie, Catwomen from the Moon. And then Stay was in regards to that, the Catwoman from the Moon visiting the astronaut who visited her on the moon and trying to keep him around and stuff like that. Anyway, I think it was a little more lighthearted than the Cure was, although, you know, Friday I'm in Love was pretty poppy. Anyway.
Yeah.
But if we go back to Bananarama, and Kirk was talking about the video, I gotta say this video is pretty epic. It's all cheesy ridiculousness. Like, it doesn't get more campy than vampires and Halloween.
Sarah Palin shaking her little tuchus in the mom jeans was pretty epic.
Goddess on the mountain.
Wow, were you their choreographer?
Their video for for what was it we were just talking about? That
Cruel Summer.
Yeah, I'm like Smooth Summer. It's not Smooth Summer, but Cruel Summer is even better for them shaking their butts in their mom jeans.
Well, they're that's where the Bengals had it down.
Butts are in those baggy overalls.
No, but then they swap it out for jeans. They swap back and forth between the overalls and the jeans.
And if they're going back to that Cruel Summer video, if they're the mechanics, you know that your car's not getting fixed.
Might want to check your lug nuts before you drive away.
I think they even kept in the video. I think where Siobhan's like bangs her head on the tape. It was probably like an outtake. It was like Ed Wood. Print it.
Nice. The Star Wars stormtrooper scene. Dunk.
In that documentary, though, they described it as sex on a stick, that video. That was kind of, no?
On a stick?
I don't know. I wouldn't describe it that way.
I've never had sex on a stick before. Is it tasty?
Why is it that out of any of the three of us who would have done that, sex on a stick, it'd definitely be the pervy Muppet.
Oh, 100%. Like if somebody offered, like,
could even figure out what it was, he probably would go try it. Just
100%. Well, who would? Okay, a lot of people probably wouldn't, but you kind of have to.
I don't know. Now I want an Urban Dictionary sex on a stick and see what they have to say.
Hang on, let me edit this.
What's the edit button? I haven't heard of that.
I got to edit the Urban Dictionary so that Andrea gets a good definition of sex on a stick.
I'll say this, though, also about Karen. Do you know who she's married to? My hero.
I had that in the notes. Hang on here. She was engaged to the Basie Walker, one of the Bananarama dancers.
Oh, I thought I didn't know, but...
And that is not Kirk Buckner's hero.
Not my hero.
There goes your hero?
He's still there. Okay, since neither of you are coming up with it. They married in 1990. They're still together. Andrew Ridgely.
That's right.
Ridgely. Oh, shit. Where's he from?
Wham.
Wait, wake me up before you go.
Yes. We've been on about Wham because it's Wham season.
No, it's not Wham season.
Whamming season is upon us almost.
December 1st. I thought I got whammed.
23rd. In the Bucknerverse, by the way, is when we can actually acknowledge Christmas.
No, yeah, I'm with you on that one.
For those who want to know why Andrew Ridgely is my hero, I've said this before, but I'll say it again.
He didn't get caught masturbating in a bathroom stall?
No, but you become friends with the guy who masturbated later and would masturbate years later in a bathroom stall because your friend looks like George Michael.
Well, oddly enough, is George Michael.
Right. It's a happy coincidence. So you become friends with one of the people that every woman wants to be with. That guy doesn't want to be with any of the women.
That's right. We've had this discussion as to why he's your...
And he does all the work.
Yeah, he's the ultimate wingman.
He's not even a wingman. George didn't need help to get anything.
No. Have you met my friend Andrew?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, like the okay. Here, if nobody else does anything, go watch the Wham Rap, the first video by that group, and it's George Michael doing everything, and then even in the video, he's just sort of like rapping to Andrew, who's just like listening, like intently. He's a genius. Too bad, kids, you missed out because now when people are growing up gay, they're okay to say, "Hey, I'm gay." Sorry, it'll never happen for any of you. Never.
Moving right along.
We have had that discussion about Andrew Ridgely. I can't remember if it was on record or not, but yes. The Wham Rap is disturbing.
It's not disturbing. It's disturbing on how awesome Andrew Ridgely is for doing nothing and latching onto this guy. It's great. Job or no job, you can't tell me that I'm not.
Wow. Brad, have you not heard the Wham Rap?
No.
Oh, that's your homework.
But yes. I know what I'm doing right after this, 100%. Yeah, I'm going to check this out.
The Wham Rap and then sex on a stick.
We got to figure that out, too. Got to figure out what that is.
There you go. So
is it like a porn dog?
Porn dog.
Okay, Andrea got that one and kind of liked it.
I don't get it.
Like a corn dog? Which is a hot dog on a stick? It's a porn dog?
I heard porn dog.
Yeah, porn dog. Porn dog. As in sex on a stick.
There you go.
Yeah, see, when you have to explain it, the funny falls off.
Mm-hmm. All right. Now, next week, Brad's finally decided he's going to step up here.
Yeah, I'm going to do this one because Andrea didn't want to.
I've dropped the ball multiple weeks in a row now.
You have passed the baton, if you will. Like a kidney stone. All right, so we're going to go with Fleetwood Mac and their only number one song ever. Now, this isn't so much how the hell did this become number one, but why the hell didn't they have more number ones?
Okay. All right.
It's Fleetwood Mac, Dreams. It's the only song they ever did that charted number one.
Huh.
And it's ridiculous because Fleetwood Mac has got such an amazing catalog. That there should be way more number ones in there, but there's only the one.
Yeah, this isn't like Pink Floyd either, where they didn't care about number ones. Fleetwood Mac. Okay, this will be interesting.
Yeah, and Fleetwood Mac. I mean, there's a lot of meat on that bone. So we're always talking about how there wasn't much to talk about, like the Shocking Blue. Oh, there was a lot of sex on sticks in tour buses with a bunch of other people. There was infidelity, there was fidelity, there was premarital sex, there was postmarital sex.
A lot of sex.
Yeah, so basically if you were in Fleetwood Mac and couldn't get laid, you knew that you were the ugly one because everybody was getting laid.
Even the ugly one got laid.
Oh, they probably did a lot, yeah.
Mick Fleetwood, obviously.
Oh, 100%.
I was trying to work on a Mick Fleetwood impression actually the other day. It didn't quite work out.
But it's just weird, all the things that happened within Fleetwood Mac. So it'll be neat to talk about that.
Mm-hmm. Well, speaking of sex on a stick, I wrote a book.
You wrote a book?
Christmas what an amazing season is segue.
Coming. Yeah, well, I mean.
Segue was almost as cool as the segue that you can ride.
In the book, though, he does talk about when he met John Holmes.
Speaking of sex on a stick.
Right. Well, he never did see that stick, but yeah, actually, I'll leave that part out, but anyway. Yes, Chavo Guerrero, instant classic about Chavo Guerrero Sr., the late great legend, hero in Mexico, United States, main evented all over the world, once was Hulk Hogan's tag team partner, and Andre the Giant once sparred on him. All of that in this book.
Now, remember, it is Christmas coming up, and you could order this for your wrestling fan.
Absolutely.
For your mom.
Holmes fan.
Mm-hmm. And there's a great
or your Andre the Giant fan
and or Jasper your Kirk Buckner fan.
We're in the book. There's a nice, great picture of us.
Nice.
Aww.
If you're a fan of any of those or Kirk Buckner, then you buy the book.
Yeah, or Jasper the Friendly Corgi. Because
where can you get the book, picture? Kirk?
You can get that on Amazon.
On Amazon.
Oh, that's a bit of a niche site. I don't know if anybody's heard of it.
Well, I don't know, but I think Bezos needs a bit of extra coin. So if you can help.
He's hurting. I mean, those penis rockets don't build themselves.
Or do they?
No, but they start off a little smaller when it's cold outside.
I thought they become smaller when it's cold outside.
No, that's if you put them in water.
Ah. Makes me think of sea monkeys. Those fucking things didn't work. Anyway.
No bitterness there. They're just brine shrimp.
So, Kirk, what other things have you got going on?
A lot of things going on, but damn sea monkeys. You had a crown. They were smiling. Why didn't mine look like that? Fuck. Anyway. Sorry, I'm having a flashback.
Some people have Vietnam. Kirk has sea monkeys.
Well, Brad just actually watched one of my latest shows. It was
I did.
Yes, you did. And you enjoyed that.
I did.
Yes. It was a flashback where they were Chris Bourdais and I. We looked at Manimal. And this crap was on national television. And eventually we're going to record another show whenever Chris is available. Chris is a busy man. I pretty much work off of his schedule, so that's okay. Tomorrow night, we're recording when Andrea's busy, so you want to tell everyone what you're doing?
Tomorrow?
Yeah, tomorrow night. when I'm recording the pro football selection show.
Oh, you were washing something, weren't you? Or
my hair? Oh, did I say I was bleaching my asshole?
So, yeah, either you can watch that, or, well, you can't watch Andrea do that, because...
No. I don't have that OnlyFans.
www.pornhub.com/Andrea.
Yeah, you won't find me there.
Oh.
It's fine.
You're going to find an... Oh, God. Anyway. Well, this went off the rails. I don't know whose fault it is.
Yours. It was a one-off joke 3 weeks ago.
You brought up the asshole bleaching.
Well, I won't bring it up next week because at that point that show's already recorded. So, like, that won't be happening.
Funnier than washing my hair.
Well, you can do both. You can wash your asshole and bleach it.
I could wash my asshole and bleach my hair.
You could do that. I was going to say you can wash your ass hair and bleach it at the same time.
Man, for me, that would take so long. Holy shit. If my ass was any hairier, 5 Japanese would run out and ask if the war was over.
Hey, so
you've done that one before.
I thought the last one I did Vietnamese. Yeah, I realized. Yeah,
but it still wasn't good that time. Wasn't right.
And with that, I know I have other things to plug, but I do a weekly Hall of Fame show with Evan Nolan. Check
you
that
do
out.
Not.
I do too.
Really?
Yes, I do. And it's ever so much fun if you're really into Halls of Fame and stuff like that. Hey, I'm your guy. That's why you own notinhalloffame.com, huh? There you go. With that, I got nothing else to plug. This ends another episode on the mountaintop. Godness. No, Richie in here.
Goodness on the mountain top.
Actually, my favorite part, though, one more thing. Making everyone mad. Isn't that video?
It was epic, the choreography.
Imagine the outtakes just to get them to do that part. Back then, nobody was looking for that. There was no lockstep and BTS and everything like that. That shit didn't exist.
It's true.
Well, there you go. It was a simpler time, and we were happy, and we liked it. Anyway, I'm rambling again.
You are.
Wherever you are, wherever you may be, kids, stay safe, everyone. Bye from the Bucknerverse.
Good night.